keep yourself out of prison, right? Fuck, I know that. How do I know that? Because I talk to people about this, about how IRS is, you're not required to file income tax, most of you. Only U.S. citizen of D.C., citizen of D.C., Washington, D.C., as federal workers and contractors, they have to pay income tax, not the rest of you. IRS is a big hoax. They appear to be powerful, but they're not. But people say, oh, no, I don't want to go to prison, so I'm going to keep filing to be safe. Well, if that's what you're thinking, folks, you need to think again. I will show you that the safest way to have the IRS leave you alone is not to file any 1040 income tax confession draft forms, or folks, any tax forms at all. Like you see right here, this image of the 1040 U.S. individual income tax return. Because when you file a 1040 income tax form or any federal tax form, you give up your most private and sensitive financial information for the IRS to use against you and force you to prove all expenses, deductions, and credits that you claimed on your tax form, or end up paying a lot more money to the IRS. Yep. Folks, the fact of the matter is very simple. You open yourself up to go to prison for three separate criminal tax charges for each IRS 1040 or other tax form that you file with the IRS. Yes, not one, not two, three with that simple signature. Let's check it out. Number one, attempting to evade or defeat a tax, tax evasion, under Internal Revenue Code Section 7201, which can send you to prison for up to 5 years for each 1040 tax form that you send to the IRS. Two, fraud and false statements under Section 7206, sending you to prison for up to 3 years for each 1040 tax form that you send to the IRS. Fraudulent returns, statements, or other documents under Section 7207 of the Internal Revenue Code, which can send you to prison for up to 1 year for each 1040 tax form that you send to the IRS. Which means, essentially, if your IRS comes after you for 4 different years for the same mistake that you made, that they claim it was not a mistake, it was your attempt to fraud, evade taxes, not to be a fisher, you may go to prison for 9 years for each times four. That's 36 years you could be facing to go to prison because of that signature you put on there. Mm-hmm. And you also give up your Fifth Amendment constitutionally guaranteed right to be silent and not give any information to government that they could use to put you in prison. You guys remember those television series or movies? The policeman arrests somebody, and while they handcuff them, they say, you have a right to remain silent. What is that? Well, folks, the American system, the founding fathers want to make sure there's no tortured confessions. So for that reason, they said that you have a right to simply say nothing. Well, but when you fill out the 1040 income tax confession form, you're saying a lot, leave all your personal sensitive financial information, where you work, how much you make, your bank account, your stocks, bonds, real estate, investments, rental property, businesses, everything you know about you, your most sensitive stuff, you give it to them, right? But you never have to do it at all in the first place, okay? So you unwittingly increase your chance of going to prison for taxes when you find under penalties of perjury that your 1040 form is true, correct, and complete. See, folks, this is a classic. Look at this big sign here in big print, right? Just like a used car dealer, and that fine print on the right, you can barely read it. Oh, like a used car salesman tells you, don't worry about a little fine print. Just sign here. You'll be good. Get the car you want to buy, right? Just fill out that 1040 tax form so you don't get in trouble with the IRS, right? That's what HR and Block, TurboTax, your accountant, CPA, enrolled agent, tax lawyer tells you, just sign here. Don't bother reading it. Me, the expert, the tax professional, I got you covered, right? Well, what did you sign exactly? I made it big here for you. You signed under penalties of perjury. What does that mean? That means throw you in prison if everything on this form is not true, correct, and complete. Yeah. Folks, you're signing a form that someone else put it together, not you. You don't know what you're signing. This professional put it together for you. But you're the one that declares it's all true, correct, and complete. How can you sign a form saying it's true, correct, and complete when you're not the one that prepared it? This guy did. See, he already greases a skid for the IRS raping you, okay? So, folks, you don't want to do that. That's why you go to prison for up to 9 years for every single 1040 form. Now, there is more. When you sign an IRS form, 1040 income tax, Fed form, you state under oath also that you owe the IRS money. That's right. See, line 37 on the 1040 form, it says this is the amount you owe, which basically means you claim you owe the IRS under penalties of perjury, under oath. Essentially saying, hey, IRS, I owe you money. There's no dispute. There's no question whatsoever. There's no need for a trial. Let's say $10,000 or $100,000. So IRS down the road at some point can simply come and take your bank account, paycheck, home, or other property. When you do not file, guess what? IRS has to come up with a tax proposal and give you a chance to receive due process law and trial, actual trial, in United States tax court and appeal of that to the Federal Court of Appeal. Yeah, you didn't know that, did you? America is different from most of the world. Most countries in the world, they can just come, take your stuff. Government agent just shows up and just takes your stuff. Not America. To due process of law guaranteed by the Fifth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, which means before the government comes and takes any of your property, you have a right to a trial and an appeal to a higher level. And you give it all up summarily by confessing your oath that you owe the IRS money. Yep. Now, let's put this all in a little bit more practical perspective. Those 1040 forms are so difficult to defend. You take the example of this former U.S. tax court judge, Diane Ellis, put your picture right here, okay? When the IRS came after Judge Krupa for tax crimes, she did not even try to put up a defense and go to trial. Because why, folks? You can't defend those 1040 confession forms. That's somebody else put together for you. If you did it yourself, you understand the Internal Revenue Code, the tax laws, you know it all. All it's about 10,000 pages of gobbledygook, tiny fonts, too thin, right, of deception with definitions that expose the truth at the end, thin, right? No, you don't. You follow whatever IRS tells you on their instruction forms or some tax professional tells you, right? So Ann Krupa, being a U.S. tax court judge, was no different. She knew, could not defend. A 1040 income tax confession form. She could have said, go on the stand and said, I am a U.S. tax court judge. This is a federal district court. This judge is not a tax court judge. I am a tax judge. Day in, day out. This guy does all kinds of federal laws. I only do tax cases. And I'm telling you, jury, I did it right. This IRS agent here on the stand, he's wrong. He has no law like I do. I'm a tax court judge. She could have done that. But even she knew that you're sunk when the IRS comes after you if you follow that 1040 confession form, put the rope around your neck. Okay? So that's why instead of going to trial, Judge Krupa pled guilty to reduce her sentence to only 34 months. Yep. She was going to look at going to prison for over 20 years. Mm-hmm. Yep. Article's for proof is right here, the Forbes article and the CBS coverage of Judge Krupa's case. So if, like Judge Krupa, you file form 10 for income tax confession form, your chance of going to prison are over 10 times higher than if you do not file, okay? And folks, the proof of that, of course, of that is right here. I just show you momentarily. It's absolutely unbelievable, okay? You can see it right here, okay? The chart is right here. But I'm going to go back to it and come back to it a little later on, okay? Now, so you don't want to be like Judge Krupa, okay? Okay? Filing will give the IRS the power to put you in prison. It's very easy to avoid. Yep. Because why? If you file, you trap yourself. It is their rope, but you voluntarily put it around your own neck. Now, let me give you something interesting in perspective. This guy you see in this picture? Mm-hmm. His name is Joseph Bannister. Agentfortruth.com is his website. He was a former special agent with the IRS's Criminal Investigation Division, CID, who became a student of Freedom Law School and published a book exposing IRS's deception of the American people. And he quit the IRS in 1999 to expose the IRS's scam on the American people. And Mr. Bannister told me, folks, this near quote, because Joe and I talked about this a lot, okay? He said, whenever at the IRS's Criminal Investigation Division, we wanted to go after somebody, one of the first things that we did as a standard procedure was to request a copy of that person's previously filed tax returns so that we could use the information on those tax returns against them. Yep. Standard procedure. When I get somebody, get his tax reports. Oh, it shows how much he made, where he worked at, his bank account, stocks, bonds, investments, real estate, rentals. I mean, every financial information about the guy is somehow reflected on that tip for income tax confession form, and they use it against him. That was their starting point. We don't know anything about this guy, but the tax form that he himself filed under oath will tell us a lot because he put that rope and gave us information on his own voluntarily. How, Joe continued then told me, however, when I wanted to talk to somebody about investigating him, I had to tell him that he had the right to remain silent and give me no information. Yep. And he could talk to a lawyer first if you wanted to. Have a lawyer present. No different than a policeman or sheriff that arrests you and can't ask you a question unless you voluntarily choose to talk. You have to give the warning, though. You have a right to remain silent. So how is it that as a criminal investigation agent, he has to give you a warning that you give up your right to remain silent, and anything you tell him could be used against you, but when you fill out the 1040 tax form, the IRS doesn't tell you that? Oh, you didn't know that? Your CPA accountant, tax attorney, TurboTax, didn't tell you that? Of course, because you make a nice little slave when they keep you ignorant. Now, You see now the fallen statistics from IRS's data books show you that over 90% of the people IRS puts in prison are actually filers. Actually, it's more than that, but this chart clearly shows, look at the top part of the chart. It shows combined results of people IRS put in prison for 2015 on the top right, all the way down to top left, 2021. Look at the parts I circled, sentence. Back in 2015, about 3,000 people that put in prison. By 2021, it was down to about 1,200. But look at the bottom part, non-filers. It was only 167 back in 2015, and by 2021, down to under 100. So you see, the top chart is everybody that is put in prison, and the bottom part is only non-filers. As you can see, the vast majority, well over 90% of everybody they put in prison, is the difference between these top and bottom numbers. They are filers, people that put the rope around their own neck with the help or coercion or deception of the accountant, CPA, tax attorney, TurboTax, HR Block, bookkeeper, you name it. Because they pretend to know the law. They pretend to know the federal tax laws, the Internal Revenue Code. Well, they never read it. They don't even understand the basic definition that's in the tax laws that they're trying to help you with. Okay? They're just making money off of them. Okay? Folks, the IRS is absolutely relying on you to voluntarily agree to be a tax slave by following a 1040 income tax confession form and admitting that you owe the IRS money. It is a statement of true former IRS commissioners that agree that the 1040 forms are taxpayers' confession forms. Fred Goldberg and Charles Rosati. Here's what they said in this Bloomberg article that's linked below. What's critical here is that substantially all of the revenue increase of the IRS does not come from IRS audits. By the way, they in the article bolded the word not. Why? Because everybody thinks IRS is God. They could just audit more people, bring more money, right? But no. Substantially, all the revenue comes from taxpayers when they file their returns. They file 1040 income tax, confession trap form, and put the rope around your neck like this. That's how substantially the IRS gets his money. It's a lot cheaper. Drop the files that admit to, and confess to the IRS money. Now I have a chart here. Risks and benefits of filing an IRS Form 1040 income tax confession form. Yep. So on the left, you click on these, you see that risk of filing 1040 income tax forms is plenty here. Look at this. Oh my gosh, it's so much. But risk when you end the voluntary process of filing and paying 1040 income tax returns and you join the Restore Freedom Plan or Freedom Law School is none. You read this, check it out, and you decide which one is more accessible to you. On the other hand, the benefits of filing a 1040 income tax confession forms, we can't think of any. And the benefits of ending the filing of income tax confession forms and joining our Restore Freedom Plan is plenty. Of course, you can do it on your own, so you don't have to join us necessarily. Most of the benefits are available to you, okay, even if you just simply stop putting the rope around your neck and do not file a confession form against yourself, okay? So there's another video here. Don't give your power away to the IRS by filing 1040 income tax confession forms. You have more power against the IRS than you realize. Yep. Folks, I want you to know you are a powerful being. The problem is they deceive you to believe that you're weak. How did they do that? Well, it's very simple. Just like Corona hoax, Russia conspiracy hoax, Iraq had weapons of mass destruction, and all the other lies of major media, the ones that build up the IRS for you as this, he's scared. Wizard of Oz is here. The Wizard of Oz. If you're in Moscow, you see the bottom of the page, you try to pull the curtain of the IRS in the 1960s, computer languages, of course, assembly language. They don't even teach it anymore in school. They're a bunch of incompetent people, and it's all a bluff. So be sure to go to step three now after this and realize that, you know what? You don't want to allow those forms anymore. Put the rope around your neck. 1048 forms. Stop. That is dangerous to your freedom, your health, and wealth. Instead, recognize you have more power than you ever realized. Just like me, folks, for over 30 years, I've not signed or filed or paid one for income tax confession trap forms. Not one. So I don't confess to anything about me. They try to mess with me. I've beaten them in court, in the tax court, and the federal district court. And our students have too. Not one of our students who's came to me clean and stayed with Freedom Law School has ever gone to prison or had the IRS levy, take the bank account, paycheck, or any problem. Folks, what do you say to that? If I can do it, so can you. You can do it on your own if you want to. It's on our website for free, the first 5 steps. The next 2 steps are optional if you want our protection to back you up and restore freedom together. So with that, go to freedomlawschool.org. Okay? You must seek the truth. And the truth will set you free. And the key word is seek. You must seek the truth. You will find us on mainstream media. You have to go to freedomlawschool.org website and continue educating yourself about all of this. Okay? If you do that, if you go and educate yourself, folks, the answers will come to folks. It's there. You just need to understand it. And you will regain your power and freedom, and you'll never again voluntarily have to pay the Washington swamp legally and safely and with a guarantee if that is what you want. So with that, I give you all my love. Hope you all have a free love and let love, live and let live day. And together we can have America be a free country once again. Okay, so we're going to go now and take your questions. Anybody have a question? I will answer it right now. The call number, we're going to put it on the screen for you who have a question. The number is 657-383-1755. And then on your telephone keypad, press 1. And I'll take your question. Again, call 657-383-1755 and press 1. On the telephone keypad, and I will take your questions, 862-882. And remember, folks, in order to protect your privacy, only give me your first name, no last name. And then tell me how you heard about Freedom Law School, and then your question, please. So the call from area code 862, you are next, my friend. Give me your first name, how you heard about us, and then your question, please. You're live right now from area code 862.
Hey,
okay, I don't hear you. I can hear you now. Yes.
Hey, Payman, my name's Nick. I heard about you through Mike Adams' podcast and interview.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
And I'm really interested. I really like what you have to say. And I just turned this 18 this year. I've never filed a 1040. And I've only had a W-2 job in the past. I've never filed any for any income tax forms. And I want to create an LLC for my business. So I was just curious on what would be the best way to go about that and be involved with the school as well. I want to join school.
You said you're 18 years old?
Yeah, I just turned 18 this year.
1-8, well. Congratulations, being only 18 years old, and you already have your mind open to seek the truth and be free, my friend. As far as the LLC, form one, no problem. Just do it. It's not a big deal. You know, just you can do that. Run a business as a corporation, LLC, trust, whatever. That's fine. Just do it. It's not a big deal. If you have more particular questions that are unique to you or your business, when you join, you get unlimited consultation. We can address those more specifically, tailored to your unique situation, but generally You can run a business to an entity. I mean, rich people do it all the time. Why not you?
Yes, sir.
I generally prefer, though, as far as LLCs, New Mexico and Wyoming LLCs, because they have annual fees. They don't have asking annual reports. They never ask any information right now. They don't know about you. Okay. Also, trusts are another tool available. People do things through with a trust as well. That's a possibility. So just get going on that. And if you have further questions, this, you know, call us. We'll help you with that. But remember, as a Restore Freedom Plan member, it doesn't matter what kind of business structure you have or don't have, because we guarantee the IRS will not take any of your money. We'll do all the work for you, pay the lawyers if necessary, defend you, and we'll win. But even if we were to lose, IRS takes any of your money, no problem. We'll completely refund you and make you whole, so you have no risk anyhow. You don't need to do that for that reason, the IRS. But good business planning is a positive thing to do. And yes, LLC is one tool you could use. Look at New Mexico, Wyoming, and if you want, we can refer to an appropriate professional as well. Anything else?
No, that was it. Thank you very much, sir. I'm looking forward to joining the school.
You're welcome, my friend. Thank you for calling. And I look forward to talking to you again, have you join us as well. And let's go to the call from area code 503. You're live, my friend. Give me a first name, how you heard about us, and then your question, please.
Hey, Payman. My name's Dan, and obviously I heard about you through Joe Bannister. So
okay.
Thank God for Joe Bannister between the both of y'all. It's
okay.
It's a no-brainer between you and Joe Bannister. I mean, an IRS whistleblower who actually survived to tell the story for the past, 26 years now, roughly? So
24
it's just
years
amazing
now.
To have y'all two paired together. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think my question today, because, I mean, I know I have a lot, but I think my number one question today is, and it's related to, obviously, dealing with the swamp, dealing with the deep state, you know, dealing with all this stuff being the way that it is. It's not going to get cleaned up overnight. We know that the country didn't get to this point in an overnight style situation, that ultimately everything that took place leading up from the Federal Reserve Act and the thing with the income tax and everything, all the, you know, the scam with the gobbledygook since, what was it, like 1913 or when they had the Federal Reserve Act or whatever it was.
Correct.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we know it's not, you know, like, and we know they're not going to give up on the hypnosis of trying to, you know, because, like, I mean, that's basically what they did. I mean, I don't know if you remember that video with Joe Bannister and the attorneys, the old video they did back in, like, what was it, like, right after, I don't know, sometime after Joe Bannister had you know, resigned or whatever. But it was like the four or five attorneys that was in that video. Tommy Cryer did the introduction. And I don't know if you remember
Yes.
that one part right around the 30-something
Yes.
minute where Joe Bannister mm-hmm. says the IRS attorneys for the IRS, the U.S. attorneys for the IRS had willfully manipulated, they willfully and intentionally manipulated the Internal Revenue Code in order to force mm-hmm. people to think that they were, you know, liable, you know, that people were liable for paying income tax, you know, federal income tax, when they were never liable for ever having to pay it, which is obviously why Joe Bannister has on the front page of his website, you know, the way that he words everything, how we're not required to do all this filing stuff. I mean, this is IRS whistleblower. So with that being said, small introduction to my question there. With that being said, we know that some areas of the country are controlled by, you know, crazy psycho people who love weaponized hypnosis. And then obviously there's patriot-loving areas in the country where, you know, people who get put to court might actually, you know, actually get due process, you know. So my question mm-hmm. is, do y'all have a list of which counties y'all are winning in and which counties are actually, like, which good local district court counties are actually applying due process and actually giving people a fair shake? Because, you know, I'm victim of police brutality. I actually stepped away from the entire system And I'd like to get my I'd like to start my life over again and come back on the grid and you know, just like live a normal life, be a normal electrician, you know, just, you know, do everything in the normal way that I used to do before, you know, I got swallowed up by the gobbledygook deep state. But I'm like, but you know, I would like to be in a nice, I would like to be in a county where like the local judges and the local clerks and the local sheriffs, you know, our constitutional sheriffs, obviously like Sheriff Mack, I'd like to be able to live in a county where I know that I don't have to worry about dialing 911 in case I got to deal with some deep state gobbledygook or something. So I was just kind of wondering, like, if y'all been keeping a list of like good places that might actually, you know, people were, you know, people will actually observe where the law enforcement and, you know, where the priest of judgment, the judicial doctors, you know.
I tell you that. So, hold on. I got a list for you. It's very simple. I found that the more rural or less dense the population of a county is, the more the people and the public servants in that area are freedom-minded and fair and less corrupt than the cities. The more dense the city, the more ghettos, the more homeless, the more crime and congestion they got, the worse they are, the more communist they are. You got to control everybody. You know, the countryside, they'll be alone. So yes, those are the most rural parts of Florida, because Florida is the freedom state. So come to Florida, come to, and northern Florida is more rural than Central or Southern Florida, and even Central Florida, and you got some rural counties in the middle of a state also. So that's your best bet. That's combination of best freedom of the state level, and the counties are less. Which ones are less corrupt? I don't know. I don't have a list. There's over 3,000 counties in America. So even Hernando County, which is two counties north of Hillsborough, where Tampa is. I like it out here. The cops here, you speed the first time, they don't give you a ticket. They just give you a warning. What does that tell you from the start, you know? So I would suggest come to Florida.
Right.
All right. Yep. Anything else, Dan, in mind?
Just the other part would be Wyoming. I heard you mention Wyoming as far as LLC formation is concerned. Do you think that there's any states in the north that are worth taking a look at as far as Patriot counties are concerned? So that way, like, I mean, I wouldn't want to have to, you know, start over in a county where I know that where, you know, judges are corrupt and stuff like that, right? So, like, I'm trying to, like, where do I land and then start my life over, you know?
Well, as far as the northern states, South Dakota is the state there that doesn't have a state tax along with Wyoming. And they got rural areas, but those are cold places. Wyoming is very cold and windy. So try any of those states. Remember, less population in the state and the counties, the better. There's only one or two I can say. There's over 3,000 counties in America. So you like the colder weather? Try.
Right.
I would say South Dakota or Wyoming. Okay, counties there, rural areas. If you like warmer weather, I would suggest Florida.
I heard you say South Dakota and Wyoming, so... that was basically my question. I appreciate you. Thank you for being there. Thanks for everything.
You're welcome. My pleasure. Okay, folks, let's see. Do you have any more calls? I'll take your question right now. Otherwise, we'll end this recording tonight. Remember, we got our Restore Freedom Rally coming up February 5th through 7th, 2nd to 5th in Orlando, Florida. So plan on, we're going to have the tickets be available very soon. Coming up, let's see, where's the link? There has to be a link on the front page. Got to go down the page. Oh, here we go. We got the Restore Freedom Rally link right here. Here we go. Let me go to you guys on that website. It's not working for some reason. Oh, there it is. Yep. Let's see where it is. I don't see a link to it, though. It's not working. Okay, it's not working, it looks like. Oh, here we go. At the very bottom of the page. Okay. Let me see if the link works. All right. Here we go. So February 2nd through 5th, 2024 in Orlando, Florida. We get more speakers confirmed as we speak. It's a co-production of Stu Peters and Freedom Law School. So folks, put those in aside, get out of the cold weather and come warm up, okay, in a sunny Florida, okay, 2nd through 5th in Orlando. Okay, we have another caller right now from area code 336. All right, call from area code 336. Please give me your first name. Are you heard about Freedom Law School? And then your question, please.
Yes. Hello, Paymon. This is Richard. I've talked to you quite a bit in the past, and I heard about you from my minister.
Very good.
And I've been working with you on the North Carolina Department of Revenue, trying to have me file taxes and paper the for 2 years. And you know, you've counseled me for quite a bit on how to do that. And the recent thing that I had a question about after I had a conference call with them to try to resolve the issues that I had when I was objecting to their assessment. Of course, we could not resolve the issues. And as far as I know, they're moving mm-hmm. forward to do a final determination at this point. Mm-hmm. But I had sent them your petition, and you know, he was making some frivolous arguments against some of the things that were in the petition. And one of those things, of course, was something that I talked to Benny Hillman last week during the Freedom Hour about in Section 7701 in the definitions about includes and including. That was one of the things that this person brought up as an objection. And Benny was trying to explain that to me last week as to how it's basically just a frivolous argument on their part. But he had also mentioned mm-hmm. something about you had already done a recording, a video about that, and I was hoping that I could get you could point me in the direction of that video, because I'm going to have to defend myself when I go to the Office of Administrative Hearings, and when I have to go before a judge and argue against their case. And this was one of the things that they brought up. So if you could point me into the direction, if you have that available, as to where you covered that, and then how would I actually argue it in front of the judge, because I want to use the same terminology that you guys use as best I can to be able to speak against that. So those are my questions.
All right. Well, if you go to RSC channel, that's the best place that things are not censored. And they are, you know, well-organized like YouTube. If you go under at Odyssey, our Freedom Lost channel, or go under content, okay, on the top left, with your content, then on the right side, you see the place for you to do your search. In this case, put the word includes. You put that on there like I did, all this page will come up. And there is a, as you said, 2 years ago, I did, on this topic, I did the videos. Okay, so here it is. That's including. So here we go. You want to open that up. And there it is. You find it. It says, does the include and including clause in Internal Revenue Code Section 7701C mean that you are included, the taxpayer? So you watch that. I'm going to go over this in detail in that video. Okay?
Okay. Is their argument, to me it seems frivolous, because the way that Benny described it, he pulled up Section 4612, mm-hmm. where we look at the definition of the United States. And you know, in that one, they had a specific definition of what the United States was as Part A, and then there was a B and a C, and both the B and the C said something like it includes this and it includes that.
Hold on. Let me help you, Richard. Hold on, Richard. Pause, my friend. This is a more complex topic that cannot be summed up in 2 minutes adequately, as much as I would like to do. It's one of the more complex topics. In fact, that's why this 35-minute video I go over this issue. In fact, on our website, I have an article about this. Let me check under our frequently asked questions. Under our blog articles, I think I have an article about that also, about including to read. In fact, someone had an exchange. Oh, here it is, right on the right side, under our education material in the blog articles, is can include means. Sometimes you use the word means, and means is very clear, including people as well, but it includes, but then say it's limited to. So it basically includes, does mean, same as means. And but this article here describes that issue in more detail. There was an email exchange between Benny Hillman and this other person. So please read that, and I will address that for you in full detail, as I know you intellectual like you would like. Any questions besides that?
No, and Benny was talking about how the word includes actually means. So I'll be glad to take a look at that, and thank you very much for pointing those things out.
You're welcome. It's my pleasure. Let's go to our next caller from area code 719. Call from area code 719. You're live with Freedom Law School. Please give me your first name, how you heard about us, and then your question, please.
My name is Dennis, and my question is, I'm a
and how
retired.
How did you hear about us? How did you hear about us, Dennis?
How did I hear about you? I watched
yes.
you on Stu Peters.
Very good. And how may I help you?
Well, I'm 71 years old. I'm a retired city employee, and I get a pension from them. I also collect some Social Security. My wife collects Social Security. And my thinking is, I'm afraid if I don't file, I won't get Social Security. And I was thinking about filing an income tax form but not signing my name. And I'm a painter now on the side. And so if I did a income tax form, I would show my pension money, my Social Security money, my wife's Social Security money, but not the painting. But I didn't want to sign the form because I don't agree that I owe them money. But they take it out of my pension. They take the tax money out. So well, I was wondering if it would be okay to do a form and just not sign my name, what would they do?
They'll reject your tax form, say that's not acceptable. It is the same as you not filing anything at all. So best thing for you to do is simply do not file anything, and you can stop the withholding or stealing money out of your paycheck. That's on our website for free. You can do that for yourself if you choose to.
Okay.
We have it under. Let's see. We have that stop withholding under right. On our page under right. Free yourself from withholding is number 3 there. Okay, there it is. You can free yourself from income tax withholding. Keep your whole paycheck, my friends. All right. Anything else?
No, that's it. I appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome. My pleasure, Dennis. Okay, looks like we have one more call with a question from area code 706. Call from area code 706. Please give me your first name, how you heard about us, and then your question, please.
Yourself on the contact.
What's your name?
No, that's it.
I'm barely here. Please get close to the microphone. You're not too far away. Get close to the microphone. I can't hear you. Say it again.
You heard about it?
Hello?
Hello. Yes, ma'am. What's your first name?
Carol.
Carol. And how did you hear about Freedom Law School, Carol?
Well, I heard you on Mike Adams on Brighteon.
Very good.
Carol.
And could you please turn off your computer so it doesn't echo back? There's a delay.
Yeah.
That we got to go. So turn off your computer. Just hear me. It's on the Blog Talk Radio so we don't have this echo on the line, please.
Sure.
Thank you, Carol. All right.
Yeah.
And what is your
Carol.
Question? May I help you?
Well, I sent in my forms to my congressman that I printed off on your website like I was supposed to, but I have a hard time with the mail service ever getting things back, so I never got my certified signature back. So, I mean, I do have a tracking to show that they got it, but would that stand
okay.
up? Because I'm just worried. I would rather have
sure.
a receipt and have everything.
That's good. As long as you send it by certified, you have that white and green slip that you mailed it out, that's good enough. You could go to USPS.com and put that tracking number and print out the delivery proof there, too. That's fine, but it is
okay.
not necessary.
Oh,
you're
okay.
good.
So
thank you.
Certified. Okay. That was the main concern. And then, well, actually, I had my husband call in last week, and he was actually suggesting we had someone look at, like, go ahead and fill out our federal and state forms and then just not submit them. But I wasn't real crazy about that. I guess if we have to pay state, which you were saying it sounded like we didn't have to, but I guess the concern was they could put a lien on our property or something. So that was my other worry. Was
what
I really
state
didn't
are you from,
Kim? Georgia.
What state are you from?
Georgia.
Georgia follows the federal
mm-hmm.
law. So if you have no federal income tax requirements, you have no state income tax requirement either.
Okay. So then we should be good. Okay. So
mm-hmm.
I just wanted to kind of run that by too. Okay. Well, I think that's it. I think everything else should be good.
Very good. Wonderful.
Okay.
Thanks for calling, Carol. I appreciate
mm-hmm.
you doing that. We're going to put the
mm-hmm.
call number on the screen one more time. Anybody with questions, folks, this is your chance to get your questions answered. Dial 657-383-1755. And on your telephone keypad, press 1. And let me know you have a question. I'll take a call. Dial 657-383-1755. And on your telephone keypad, press 1 on your telephone keypad. And I will take a question next. Okay. So it looks like we have a call now from area code 719. You're live, my friend, from area code 719. Give me your first name, how you heard about Freedom Law School, and then your question, please.
Hi, Pavon. Kelly is my name, and I got your information from a buddy of mine who studied your site.
Very good.
My question is, I don't have your site open in front of me right now. It was having to do with several of your presentations when you go through your talk and you mention about the eligibility of who has to file, who has to pay, and you talk about what you have to be a resident of D.C. And you read the
mm-hmm.
law, and I've listened to it
mm-hmm.
twice, and I must be missing something because when you're
mm-hmm.
reading it, I see it, and it seems to indicate that it's all the states plus this stuff, plus the D.C., and you keep emphasizing this is all it mentions these things, but the actual wording, forgive me, I don't have it in front of me like I wish I did, maybe you have it, but the wording suggested includes these other places. And that doesn't mean that word does not mean it excludes everything else, like you seem to suggest that it's only a resident of Washington, D.C. It includes residents of Washington, D.C., or the what's the other term? There's another name for that, the District of Columbia. And it seems like a fault on the surface level of understanding who's eligible and who's not. So I'm hoping for some clarity from you.
Okay. Well, you go to our website, the very first video on step one. If they are already, just go through it slowly. Listen to it a second time. You see, I share it right here under definitions. Okay. It says when used in this title, what title they're talking about, the Internal Revenue Code, you see it right there in my hand. That's what they're referring to, not just anything out of nowhere. And here they define many things like person, partnership, and partner. But they go down a little further down, and you see there's a definition of the term United States and states. See, because That's the key definition. And state, it says, shall be construed to include District of Columbia. Okay? It doesn't mention New York, Florida, California. None of the states are there. Now, how about the United States? Well, that is, you know, includes only the states, which now states is only District of Columbia and the District of Columbia. Again, I don't care if you have 2 or 5 or 100 District of Columbias, they still add up to District of Columbia. So United States means District of Columbia. You see on this map, on the right side, a tiny little place called the District of Columbia. The word United States in tax law means D.C. primarily. It has other definitions for different parts, different chapters, but for general purposes, that's all there is there. The deceived would believe that's something beyond that. And here's the U.S. Supreme Court, Stedmaier versus Carhart in year 2000. Okay, tell you right there that when a statute or law includes explicit definition, like the ones we just saw, right? You just saw the United States definition and state, okay? You and I must follow that definition, even if it varies from our terms ordinary meaning. So United States
that's,
usually
hey, that's right.
States, but as axiomatic, but, evident, obvious that the statutory definition by law, the term excludes all the meanings of that term. Boom, right there. This is the Supreme Court. So look at
it
that.
It excludes what, Heyman?
Excludes
what?
Unstated meanings of that term. What's not listed.
But when you mention on your video in that step one at 402, you show the definition term United States when used in geographical sense includes only the states and the District of Columbia.
Right.
And that's what that's not, you know, that doesn't exclude everybody else. That doesn't say, those people
right,
who are
right, hold on, right, it does. Look, you know, you should watch my video slowly. The Supreme Court says something defined by lecture definition excludes unstated meanings of that term. What does that mean? That means something not stated is not there. So the 50 states are not stated. They are unstated. Therefore, they are not there. That's what they're saying. Here it is, Section 701. Okay? So you got to follow the definition. It doesn't matter what you and I think about that state.
Right.
The United States law means that. Now, I have other video I got, by the way. You got to watch on my website. There's two other little ones. Okay? Different meanings of the term United States prove few or income tax. This one, I show so many definitions of terms state United States. Okay, that you know that obviously all these definitions make a key difference. Otherwise,
right.
There would be, you know, no need for all these different definitions. All kinds of different things. Here's a general one about 771, right? But here's another one, 4612, about oil taxes. Look at that. Oil taxes. For this subchapter on oil, look at that. United States includes means the 50 states and D.C. and a bunch of U.S. territories that are listed there. Okay? So there's a reason why all these other territories of the United States are included along with the continental shelf areas and foreign trade zones that the definition does not have. They're all different. So what I recommend you do, my friends, to go through, watch each other video on one, I'll be working for you. Any other questions?
No, that's it for right now. I'll do it again. Thank you.
Okay. Mm-hmm. If you have any trouble with our office, my activist on the phone will guide you through further. But watch the video twice, slow down, rewind, pause, read it slowly to make sure you got it the first time. Okay, my friend? For calling Kelly, one more time, I'm going to call on the call number on the screen. We have, looks like maybe we have no more calls right now. One more chance. If you have a question, call now, 657-383-1755. And on your telephone keypad, press 1. Now your question now, 657-383-1755. and on your telephone keypad, press 1, and I will take your question now. Okay? All right, looks like we have no more calls with questions. So, folks, I appreciate you calling, folks. You are our being. You have more power than you realize. You are the Gulliver that we allowed these little bureaucrats in deep state to enslave you by us falling asleep, not knowing about our rights, not knowing about the law. Have to wake, folks. As Gulliver the Giant, take your part back from these corrupt people in the deep state and system establishment who've turned to slave. Break the chains of slavery and free yourself at freedomlawschool.org. Would you do it? Does he drive? Listen to our videos when you go home at lunch or dinner. Watch the stuff. And tell your friends, family members, text your family members about our website. On social media, email them, hey, what do you think about this? Man, this is incredible. I wonder if something wrong with this. I couldn't find anything wrong with it. Will you please show me? I appreciate your input, your wisdom. Please check it out when you drive to work today and tell me what you think. And when you call them, midday, did you watch it on your way to work? No? Okay, do me a favor. Watch it now on your way back home tonight. Tell me what you think about this, about Freedom Law School. Step 1, follow the law. Take it from there. You don't know who you're talking to. They might be very interested, be open-minded. Give them a try. Your family members, friends, co-workers in your community, and give them the chance to, like you, live free. Give them my love. Wish you all freedom. I'm back with you next Thursday night at another edition of Recording Session of Freedom Law School. Good evening. Oh, okay.